The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the speaker. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice from your own physician.
Good morning. This is Dr. Ali Kiyapur from Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. I'm the director of biomechanics research. And I'm here with Dr. Ali Massad.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Ali Massad. I'm from the Massachusetts General Hospital, where do research based on artificial intelligence and spine.
So yeah, the topic of, thank you for the introduction. The topic of today's session or Ask the Expert is at the applications of the artificial intelligence and spine surgery and improving basically the methods for diagnostics and treatments. So my first question for you is based on the research that you do. So what do you see some of the emerging applications in the area of using artificial intelligence in spine surgery research?
Yeah, so first, Ali, thank you so much for this opportunity. I think the applications of AI are very diverse. We've seen like applications for predict surgical outcomes. We have emerging applications for computer vision, for robotics, many emerging topic right now in large language models. Mm-hmm. And also there is a lot going on with in silico simulations. Okay. So I think the spectrum of applications is very broad. Mm-hmm. And I see the impact of AI on spine surgery to be tremendous in the coming years. There's a lot of research going on, and I'm happy to like talk more about the work that we do at Harvard Medical School. So,
can you please give an example of some of the most recent studies that you did or you're doing which uses artificial intelligence in the research?
Yeah, so I think one of the studies we have right now is using patient images. We think there's like so much data there that is usually overlooked. And leveraging AI to analyze these imaging, we are doing our best to characterize like patients' phenotypes based on imaging, very objective measures different than physical or subjective assessments that are usually done. And the idea behind that is we want to define clusters of patients or group of patients that look much alike, mm-hmm. and see what is the association between patients that look alike and their outcomes. So let's say we have a new patient coming in with their imaging, and just like by analyzing them through AI, we would know if they fall like in a high risk group versus a low risk group, and we kind of get a sense of mm-hmm. what is the path for this patient like after surgery.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is, so you have the patient's information, and then you try to train a model or build a model which can help you to predict the condition of the patient.
Yeah, this is exactly what we're doing. So we started with CT scans. So with CT scans, we were able to segment bone mm-hmm. and muscles and also adiposity. So we're looking at the body composition overall mm-hmm. and trying to see how these factors play to predict like surgical outcomes. There is a lot of opportunities here, mm-hmm. adding bone density as a factor, including like more biomechanical parameters, mm-hmm. more morphology of the bone, mm-hmm. and trying to be more specific about what is the segment of interest that the surgeon is, like where is the index site for operation, and having like an overall assessment of this using computer vision application and AI.
Okay, so you mentioned that you use CT images of the patient. So is that the primary set of input that you use to train your models, or you're looking also at some other information such as the notes provided by the clinicians, doctors, or the patient's baseline data and all that? So
yeah, so I think the CT scan has a lot of information. It's mm-hmm. a 3D image mm-hmm. Versus like an X-ray, which is just like a 2D representation. And as I mentioned, there's a lot of data going there. The applications of NLP, natural language processing using clinical notes, is also something very interesting. There is a lot of applications to help mm. physicians write their notes, especially now with the emerging LLMs, the large language models. Mm-hmm. But it's also, there is a lot going on to create like decision support systems mm-hmm. based on the notes that are written in the EHR. Okay. So this kind of creating like alerts, for example, for post-operative complication, let's say DVT, mm-hmm. Making sure that this like helps spine teams taking care of patients to follow good recommendation and practices. Okay. So I think combining like both is or using like a multimodal approach to AI would be like most informative moving forward.
Okay, perfect. So initially you mentioned I think an interesting topic that was basically using artificial intelligence for in silico modeling. That's basically what my area of expertise is, because one of the things that we have been trying to do was that use the computational models, which represent a certain anatomy, in this case, spine, and validate the model and use that for predictions and simulations of different clinical conditions and spinal deformity cases and disease cases, and also even for the treatment. So, but there is a process for that. So, I mean, typically, the process will start off with getting a set of images and then segmentation. So, and then, bringing to it a software for meshing and creating the anatomy and then defining the properties and details. And then the last step is the processing and simulation. So, one of the biggest challenges in this area was that segmentations of the images. So, I mean, it's just a very lengthy process. It requires a lot of manual work to basically isolate the anatomy of interest and use that for basically creating the model. So I think one of the very interesting areas in right now, and I think just using artificial intelligence in this process is, so if the AI model can help us just to process extract the geometry much faster and quicker. And so instead of like spending a lot of time building one model, so now we can basically use this process and create multiple models. So the model helps us to segmentize the anatomy and build the model. So that's one area which I think which is very interesting, and we're just trying to investigate further into that. And also, in the spine industry and research field, so we are talking about patient specific modeling. So in the past, so we had spine model validated against a set of cadaver data or clinical data and use that for any kind of a spine research. But now we're talking about a model for specific patients. So we build the model for patient's anatomy and use that for predicting the basically outcome of the patient's spine into a specific treatment. So I just want to see, what are your thoughts about these approaches and the advantages, I think, of AI in that field?
Yeah, so I think you mentioned some great points. So computational modeling and simulation is emerging very well in spine. Mm-hmm. We know a lot about it like in other industries, like aviation or cars, for mm-hmm. example. Like people, they do simulate like worst case scenarios yeah. of crash. I think, as you mentioned, like segmentation is a big hurdle. We are using new tools right now, trying to discover them. Mm-hmm. One of them was released by Meta, and it's basically like segment like anything. And this is mm-hmm. like open source like model that we're trying to build upon to help segment spine or spine structures, yep. related structures. This will help tremendously streamline the process. I think the main roadblocks right now is trying to upscale these applications, make them easy for people to build these kind of like patient specific models. Moving forward, having more robust patient specific models is definitely gonna be advantageous to predict like better outcomes, design better implants, and also prevent complications down the road, whether it's a complex case, it's an oncology case, cases that need like complex reconstructions. I think there's like a lot of advantages over there.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the other challenges in standard procedure for spine surgery was typically people who end up having spine conditions or at the older age. And so at that point, so the biggest challenge is the bone quality. Is it good enough? So for a surgery, like an interbody fixation. So, and I think there's not much information as far as, okay, so how the patient's bone would react to, like, you know, a standard spacer or cage. And so the subsidence, for example, as we speak, so it's just one of the biggest limitations. So where the bone is too soft, and when you put the metal, the implant inside the space, and it sinks into the bone over the time. So we just try to avoid that. And I think the industry has been trying to use the additive manufacturing tools and, like, you know, methods for printing different technologies by improving the morphology of the cage, so to minimize the risk of subsidence. But here, I think at the research side, what we can do is we can build AI-driven models. So which we can use patient's own images and data and build a model which gives us an estimate as far as the bone mechanics. And we use that to design help the doctor to design a construct for the patient which has the lowest risk of failure or subsidence.
Yeah, so I think you mentioned it like very well. AI should definitely be coupled with other methods such as like additive manufacturing and 3D printing, and trying to like leverage both techniques and marry them together for better outcomes. So I think there's a lot of opportunities.
Yes, thank you for sharing your thoughts and experience with about artificial intelligence spine surgery and research. So I think it will be very interesting to see how some of these researchers and all that real to something which can affect the outcomes of like in the point of care and procedures. And ultimate goal is obviously to make the entire procedure less costly and more efficient. And it's like, you know, relieves the burden from the healthcare side and also the patient, make the procedures more effective.
Thank you, Ali. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much. Thank you.